Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday, this last Sunday in Eastertide, as we gather together to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, this Sunday is Mother's Day, so we want to take the opportunity to give thanks for all of our mothers, all of you mothers out there, and all of you who have served as mothers to us. We give you thanks, and we just ask that you continue to live into this day, this special day where you are recognized and where your contributions are celebrated. So give thanks for all the mothers on this Mother's Day. Just have a couple announcements to make. Please be mindful of our church picnic, which is coming up on June the 29th. It's going to be at the Burholm Park, which is on Cotman Avenue, 403 Cotman Avenue. Please come. We always have a good time whenever we're out in the park, whenever we're fellowshipping together and, of course, eating together. But it's a wonderful time of fellowship. So that's going to be on June the 29th. So please keep that date in mind. Also, we are entering into the summer months. One of the highlights of summer is Vacation Bible School, and so that is being planned for July the 16th. We are always in need of teachers and for people to participate in that and to help out in that. So if the Lord has placed it on your heart to participate in that way, you can see Kate Frank or Desiree Keat, who will be more than happy to make sure that you are assigned an appropriate place and thing to do for that. But that's going to be on July the 16th, some weeks away, but still time moves quickly. So mark that down on your calendars as well. There are, of course, other things going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you read your bulletin and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading this morning is from the epistles. It's 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, and it is found on page 1067 of your pew Bibles. Please listen to God's word. If we receive testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne witness to his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne to his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from John 17, verses 6 through 19. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth. It's the word of the Lord. Well, friends, today is not only Mother's Day, but it is also the last day in Easter. Next Sunday will be Pentecost, and we will be celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, redounding on God's people. But on this Sunday, we are privileged to overhear a prayer, a beautiful prayer, a prayer from the Lord himself, praying for his disciples and praying for all of us here, all of God's people all over the world. The Lord is praying for all of his disciples this morning. And it's always amazing to listen in on one of the Lord's prayers. The prayer this morning is often called the other Lord's Prayer. It's often called that to distinguish it from the one we all know and recite every Sunday. In that prayer that we just recited, Jesus is in instruction mode, and he is teaching his disciples how to pray, making sure that they cover all the bases. He tells them to pray for the coming of the kingdom. He tells them to pray for their daily needs, to pray for the forgiveness of their sins, all the kind of things that we ought to be praying for constantly. That's what Jesus tells us to pray for when he instructs us how to pray over in Matthew's gospel. But in our prayer this morning and the prayer that we just heard, Jesus isn't in instruction mode, but he is pouring his heart out. He's pouring his heart out the way we often pour our hearts out to God, especially when we are praying for people that we love, people that we care about, because that's what prayer is. Prayer are words of love. Whenever we pray for someone, whenever we lift someone up before the Lord, whenever we intercede on someone's behalf, we are expressing our deep love for them. Prayer is, as someone said, is what lovers do. And you can't find a better lover than Jesus. That's why we find him praying this morning. He is praying because of the deep love that he has for his disciples, because of the deep love that he has for all of us. And so we have this opportunity this morning to hear Jesus in prayer. We point out, of course, that this other Lord's Prayer that Jesus is praying this morning takes place near the end of his life. Jesus knows that his time is short. In a little while, he'll no longer be with his disciples. He's been with them for quite some time. He's been with them for about 3 years. He has been leading them and guiding them and teaching them and protecting them. But in a little while, they're going to be on their own. He is no longer going to be there with them in person, no longer going to be there to keep them out of trouble, no longer going to be there to answer any of their questions, no longer going to be there with them in their darkest and most difficult moments. And so he prays for them. Today's Mother's Day, of course, and I would think that one of the most difficult things about being a mother or a father or any kind of a parent is knowing that one day you're going to have to take your most precious treasure, that is your children, and launch them into the world, knowing that they are going to be without you. You're no longer going to be there as you've been there with them before. It may be that you're sending them away to college somewhere, or maybe they are leaving to go to another city for a job, or maybe they're just getting married and about to start their own lives, but whatever it is, you know that you can no longer be available to them as you've been there before. All you can do is pray. Pray for them, because that's what lovers do. They pray for the people that they love. And that's what Jesus does this morning. He prays. Aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for us? When I was 18, on my way to the army, I was at the bus station getting ready to take the long bus trip to South Carolina, where I would board a plane and go to spend the next 3 years in Germany. And of course, at the bus station, my mother was there, my cousins was there, everybody was there, but especially I took note of my mother. I was trying to act grown up, trying to act brave, but in reality, I was scared to death. How in the world would I survive without my mother? How in the world would I survive without the woman who had raised me, the woman who had been there with me all of my life, the woman who had taught me her values, the woman who had taken me to church? How in the world would I survive without my mother? She wouldn't be able to go, of course. But I was comforted by the fact that she was praying for me. And I'm still comforted by that fact, because that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about love. And mothers at their best are lovers who pray. And so I took comfort and take comfort in the fact that my mother often prays for me. But the biggest comfort of all is knowing that Jesus is praying for us, because again, that's what lovers do, and you can't find a bigger lover than Jesus. And so he prays for his disciples and prays for all of us. It's interesting, of course, to hear the kind of things that Jesus prays for in his prayer this morning. When we pray, we often have certain things that we pray about. We sometimes pray for healing. We pray that people will be made whole. We pray that people might find the things that they need. We pray for people's finances. We pray that relationships might be healed and restored. We pray for all kinds of wonderful things, all kinds of necessary things. All of these things are terribly important, and we should pray and pray constantly. But as Jesus contemplates the future of his disciples without him, as he considers the mission that is before them, he prays for some pretty particular things. First of all, he prays for their protection. He prays that God will protect them from the evil one. And let's face it, we live in a world that is rife with evil. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. You hear it. You see it. Jesus, of course, had to contend with evil from the very beginning. It was there waiting for him as a baby when King Herod tried to have him killed. It was there at the beginning of his ministry when he prayed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Wherever Jesus went, he stirred up and disturbed the demonic forces that dogged him every step of the way, including on the cross when it did the very worst that it could do. Jesus had to contend with evil every step of the way, and so he knows that his followers are going to have to contend with evil as well, and so he prays. He prays that God will protect them. He prays that God will protect all of us from the evil one. But it's important to understand what Jesus is praying for when he prays for protection here. Jesus isn't praying for God to protect us from all the bad things that might happen to us. After all, as we are told, we are in the world. And to be in the world means that we will often suffer the things that everyone else suffers. We will suffer from heartbreaks. We will suffer from disappointments. We will suffer from setbacks and frustrations. We will suffer pains and hurts of various kinds. We will suffer sickness and disease and loss. It all comes from being human. It all comes from being in the world. But what Jesus is praying for is that God will protect us from all of the ways that the evil one tries to get us to belong to the world. You see, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the world's ways of thinking. We don't belong to the world's ways of doing things. We don't belong to the world's way of responding. We are in the world, but not of the world. We don't belong to the world. The other day I was in the store and someone said something that was mean and nasty. And I was tempted to respond in kind. I was tempted to say something mean and nasty on my own. Have you ever been like that? Something happens and you're tempted to respond in kind. You're tempted to give people a bit of your mind. Well, that's the way I was. I was tempted to respond in kind, but the Lord said, don't do it. Don't let the evil one drag you into being a part of the world. You're in the world, but you don't belong to the world. You belong to God. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a way that you are called to act in the world. One of the ways the evil one tries to get us to belong to the world is through division. The evil one likes it when we are divided and separated and constantly fighting each other, because that's the way the world is. You ever notice that? The world has its various camps, it has its various tribes, and they are constantly fighting and at odds with each other. And often we do the same thing as God's people. We do the same thing in the church. We have our camps as well. We have our tribes. We can name them conservative and liberal, black and white, evangelical, our mainline. We have our tribes and our camps, the things that divide us. And the evil one just laughs. And that's why Jesus, out of his great love for his people, prays for our oneness. He prays that we will be one as he and the Father are one. He prays that we will be knitted together in love, his love, because when we are one, we show who we belong to. We show that we don't belong to the world, but that we belong to him. We belong to God. We may be in the world, but we don't belong to the world. One of the other ways that the evil one tries to drag us in through into the world is through violence, the means of violence. We see that all around us. It's one of the constant characteristics of our world. It's one of the constant characteristics of our neighborhoods. It's one of the constant characteristics we hear in our city. It's one of the constant characteristics we can associate in the world. Right now, people are violent. We believe in violence. We believe that violence can solve our problems. We believe that if we can just bomb enough and shoot enough, we can achieve the objectives that we want. That's the way of the world. That's why Jesus says a little later over in John's gospel, he says that my kingdom is not of this world. And he doesn't mean by that his kingdom is up there someplace in the far reaches of space, but he means that his kingdom is not like the kingdoms of the world. His kingdom is not a kingdom that moves on violence. His kingdom is not a kingdom that has to bomb and shoot people. If his kingdom was that kind of kingdom, he says, my followers would be fighting for me. But my kingdom is a different kind of kingdom, and my followers are a different kind of people. My followers are in the world, but they don't belong to the world. They're not of the world. And so Jesus prays. He prays that you and I will be protected from the evil one. He prays that we will not be dragged into the ways of the world. But Jesus prays for something else as well in this wonderful prayer that he prays for us. He prays that we will be sanctified in the truth. That's what he says. Sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify my disciples. Sanctify my people. Sanctify my followers. Sanctify them, Lord, in the truth. Sanctification simply means to be set apart, means to be made holy. But not in a snobbish or self-righteous kind of way. You see people sometimes and they act real holy, they act real standoffish, real snobbish, real self-righteous. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. No one was more sanctified than Jesus. No one was more holy than Jesus was. And yet Jesus' holiness was not the kind of holiness that caused him to be standoffish. It was not the kind of holiness that caused him to be distant. But Jesus' holiness, his sanctification, his consecration was the kind of holiness that brought him near to people. It was the kind of holiness that brought him close to people. It was the kind of holiness that sent him out to be near people that other people didn't want to be near. It was the kind of holiness that led him to places that some people considered to be too sinful. It was the kind of holiness that led him to touch lepers that other people didn't want to touch. It was the kind of holiness that led him to embrace people that other people didn't want to embrace. And for Jesus, that's what being holy was about. It was about being for others, especially for those, all of those that everyone considered to be unholy. But now Jesus says, Lord, sanctify them. Set my disciples apart. Help them to be holy. Not for their sakes, but for the sake of others, for the sake of the world. Help them to be sanctified in truth. Truth, of course, is the other word that causes us a little bit of difficulty and trouble today, doesn't it? Truth is something that's very much contested today. We all live out of our own truth. Something that is exacerbated today by social media, where we all live in our social bubbles. We all subscribe to our own notion or understanding of what is true. We all live out of our own facts, or the things that we want to be facts. Someone said we live in a post-truth age. I think that's probably true. Every truth claim, they said, is just a claim to power. Every truth claim is someone who's trying to force us to do something that we might not otherwise want to do. It's a way of trying to get us to act in a certain way. And so there's no such thing as truth. It's just what people in power want truth to be, or it's just people who are claiming to have some kind of power over us. Maybe. But for all of us this morning, truth is a person. Truth is the Word of God, the Word of God in flesh. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Truth is the Lord Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Truth is the self giving love of God for the sake of others. That's important to remember. Truth is not about trying to force people to believe in our particular truth claims. Truth is not about taking particular sides on the great social issues of the day. Truth is not about going out to be a social justice warrior. All of those things are important, but it's not what the truth is about. Truth is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is the self-giving love of God for the sake of the world, for the sake of others. That's the truth. That's the truth that Jesus wants us to be sanctified in. That's the truth that Jesus wants his people to be set apart for. That's why it's so important that you and I not let the evil one drag us into the ways of the world, because we are called to bear witness to the truth, to God's truth. The truth of God's love for each and every one of us. That's what Jesus is praying for this morning. Aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for you? Aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for all of us? Aren't you glad that Jesus is praying for the world? Aren't you glad that Jesus is like a loving mother? Even though he is no longer with us, even though he has gone to be with the Lord, even though he has gone to be at the right hand of God, even though all power and authority has been given to him, he is still praying for you. He is still praying for us. He is praying for you and me. He's praying that we will bear witness to who he is and to who God is in a world that is tearing itself apart, in a world that seems hell-bent on destroying itself, in a world where we human beings even use religion to divide ourselves and to kill each other. Jesus is praying for you and me to bear witness to the truth. And here's the good news this morning. Jesus gets what he prays for. We're not just a little assemblage of Jesus followers in a northeast corner of the city of Philadelphia, but we are the people who've been set apart. We are a little community that's been set aside to bear witness to who God is. And we know that we will fulfill that we have been called to be, because Jesus, in his great love, is praying for all of us, and indeed praying for the whole world, to the glory of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it is with joy and thanksgiving that we gather here today. Joy and thanksgiving to give thanks to you for all that you are, and to give thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has given himself for the whole world. And we thank you for the Lord interceding for us, praying for us, praying that we will live as his people, praying that we will be the light of the world, praying that we will bear witness to the truth of your great love for the whole world. Lord, thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for your Holy Spirit empowering us to live as your people. And we ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus this morning. Amen.